Welcome to New Creation Christian Center. My name is Harold Franklin, and I'm the pastor of New Creation. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 in Seattle, Washington. We hope the Word of God changes and challenges your life and that you are refreshed and renewed by hearing the Word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us. And now we'll get into this week's message.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to jump right into the message. So, Father, we pray that you would give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. In addition to what's been spoken in song and in testimony, I pray that you would speak to us through your Word tonight. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Now, let me say something. Of course, we all know that this is Resurrection Weekend. In actuality, unfortunately, the church, with its newfangled ways, divorced itself from its Jewish roots. So really, truthfully, the resurrection happened. Passover was Monday, okay? Jesus was crucified on Passover. Everybody knows that, right? I mean, you look at the Bible, it's very clear. It's the day before the Passover, they ate, he established the new covenant, what we call communion. And then after that, Passover came and Jesus was actually crucified on Passover. Why? Because he was the Passover lamb. Just like in the old covenant where God said, if you put the blood on your doorposts, I will pass over you. All right? When Jesus died and now we accept his death, burial, and resurrection and apply his blood to our heart, he passes over our sin. Amen? So we no longer are stuck with, as Toyin said, our old lifestyle, our old, and like she said, everybody has a past. Some people have a more storied past, but all of us had to be born again. Nobody came out of the womb born again. Amen? So we all have a testimony. We all had a path to travel to God so we can finally see the light. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest event in human history, without exaggeration. There's nothing that compares to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So many people want to doubt it, but it's really, there's no way you can doubt it. Scripture not only confirms it, but you can find ancient authors who write about the resurrection. So the resurrection is a historic fact, and the resurrection distinguishes Christianity, and that's why when we say stuff like Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and only life, this is authenticated by the resurrection. Nobody can say what Jesus can say. I hate to say this, and then it's not meant to offend, but Muhammad did not rise from the dead. He's still dead. Buddha, although Buddhism is not really a God religion, it's a philosophy, for those that don't know that, Buddha is still dead. Confucius is still dead. Everybody who so-called started a great religion, they're all dead, but Jesus is alive. And people say stuff like this all the time. They say, well, there's all these different pathways to God. But I always say this, if that were true, then why did God only make Jesus die and everybody else didn't have to? That's because there isn't a lot of different paths. There's only one, because Jesus is that path. He's the only one that gave his life because we needed someone to bridge the gap between God and us. Nothing we do can get us to God. God had to come to us and bring us to him. Amen? So we have to see that this resurrection is not just something that we celebrate, as Mission said, just this weekend. We celebrate it all the time because it is the life that we now live is in the resurrection. His death, burial, and resurrection also brought us the new covenant that gives us the ability to be in partnership, covenant, and relationship with God. Now, a lot of times we don't understand the covenant relationship. We do somewhat when it comes to marriage, but we know that marriage is taking a hit all over the place. Amen? And so we have to think in terms of when Abraham and God entered into a covenant, God became for Abraham everything he needed, and also God identified himself with Abraham. That's why he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, because he identified his name. And that's why when he says, whoever blesses you, I will bless, and whoever curses you, I will curse, because they were identified. They were linked together. They were inseparable. And think of it now, and the Bible says that we have a new covenant that's based on what? Anybody know that passage in Hebrews? That's based on better promises, right? So if Abraham had this great promise, how much more of us that are now called Christians, and we're what? Not only are we Christians, but we're part of what? His body. Amen? We are the body of Christ. We are inseparable from Christ because we are a part of him and he is a part of us. The Bible says that he has come to live in our hearts, and now we have been quickened by his spirit and now made alive through him, and now have relationship, covenant, and partnership with God. And don't take that lightly, because let's put it in these terms. If we were partnered with the richest person in the world, there would be nothing that we couldn't do in the natural. All right? Am I right about it? Just like she was talking about, if you were partnered and you asked your partner, hey, I need to go and buy this building. Oh, yeah, just tell me how much it is and I'll write the check. But when you're partnered with the God of the universe, it goes far beyond just natural things. But the great thing about it includes the natural things. And unfortunately, for centuries, the church never saw that God was interested in the natural. It only said that God was interested in the spiritual. But Jesus came to be what? He became what? Flesh. Flesh and blood. Why? Because he wanted to show us how in the natural, the spirit works in this realm. Jesus didn't do anything, excuse me, that we cannot do in his name. Amen? Isn't that why he came? He came so that we not only could see God, because people still have the wrong concept of God. They think of God only as a judge and a tyrant and somebody that wants to impose rules. But Jesus said to Thomas, he asked him, show us the Father, and it'll be sufficient for us. And he says, Thomas, have I been with you so long that you don't know me? He says, he who's seen me has seen the Father. He says, don't you believe that the Father is in me and I am in the Father and that we're one? So we're inseparable. And so when you think of your relationship with God, and our concept of God has to enlarge, because sometimes because we go through, and because the enemy tries to press our understanding down about the Father, we let small things cloud the vision, the big vision of God. I mean, we let money problems, our health, circumstances cloud how we believe about God. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we serve the God that spoke, and everything that we walk on came into existence. And then we have a $200 bill that we can't sleep because we don't know how to get it paid. And this same God still can speak and things happen. And not only that, he gave us the power to pray and ask for him to do things so circumstances can change. That's what prayer is. Did you guys know that we pray to change circumstances? You don't pray that. We don't pray stuff like this. Like, you need $200, Lord. I thank you that I don't have $200. I thank you that I'll never get $200. I thank you. No, that's not what we pray, is it? I hope not. We pray stuff like, Lord, you said that you're my provider. Your name is Jehovah Jireh. So, Lord, can you open a door to show me how to receive the promise of provision that you've made for me so that I can pay this $200 bill. And I thank you that your word is true, and I'm not going to waver about it. That takes what? Faith to believe that he wants to do that. Amen? So we have to remember that God is our partner. God is our covenant we're in a covenant relationship with God. And also, let me touch on this, and I got to keep moving, so that's why I got to keep doing this fast. But we are in a blood covenant relationship with God. And we don't always understand the concept of a blood covenant because we're not in an ancient world that believed in blood covenants. And blood covenants have probably been, you know, they're mostly taboo because they're always done in a wrong way. But we have a covenant, a blood covenant with Jesus Christ. That's what the communion represents. He says, here, take, eat. This is my body. This is my blood. He says, this is the new covenant, New Testament in my blood. What that gives us the right, it gives us the access to God's promises. Amen? Are you with me? You know, we always hear stuff like, has anybody ever heard the saying, I'm going to plead the blood? Have you heard that? You know why we can plead the blood? Because we have a covenant, a blood covenant with God. So that's what we're pleading. A lot of us plead the blood in ignorance. It's a Christian cliche like you were talking about. You know, we just imagine going to work. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. Nobody would know what you were saying, and they'd think you were kind of crazy. But when you understand that you're pleading the covenant blessings that God has provided for us in that new covenant that he's given unto us, then we understand what we're saying when we're pleading the blood. And we have to learn to stop doing things just because we heard it and begin to understand the benefits of what we're doing. Because if you continue to do something that you don't understand, the enemy is going to frustrate it one time, and then you're going to say, yeah, I knew that didn't work. I didn't understand it anyway. So why am I? So, but understand that you are pleading with God to fulfill his promise of that covenant that you now have with him. And that's what we reaffirm every first day of the week. We reaffirm the covenant that we have with God. So in that covenant are the things that we need. We know that in the covenant is what? The first thing is salvation. The covenant includes salvation. We are born again. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever what? Believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's in the covenant. And we can plead the blood of the covenant for our salvation or for the salvation of our family members. Amen? You know, we all have family members that need to be saved. Amen? And so we take that promise that Jesus or the apostles spoke to Cornelius, that he says, you and all your household will be saved. And so we start with the promise that, Lord, you said that all my household would be saved. So, Lord, I call my household into your kingdom. I call my brothers, my sisters, my sons, my daughters, my husbands, my wives, my uncles, my aunts. I call them into your kingdom based on the covenant promise that you gave to me. That's how you pray effectively. A lot of people don't pray effectively because they don't play the promises. Amen? We pray specious things, things that we think. We pray stuff like this. Well, God, I know that you got world hunger to deal with, and I'm just a little old ant down here. No, that's not who he's made you. He says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may find help in time of need. Boldly is not, Lord, I'm just a little old. No. You are now his righteousness. He has imputed to you righteousness. You were a little old worm that didn't deserve to be in his presence, but now you are a part of his body, so now you have the right to come into his presence. Amen? And ask boldly. So salvation is a part of the covenant. Healing is the part of the covenant. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, just real quickly. And this is one we all probably memorized. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed." Amen? That means every time you get sickness, Jesus has already paid the price for your sickness and your health. Amen? So we have to appropriate the promise. What does that mean? That means apply it to me. It's one thing to read this and say, yeah, gosh, Jesus was wounded for my healings. That's a fantastic theological truth. But how can you apply that to you when you're sick? Amen? That's what it's all about. You take the Word of God. The Word of God has power in it, is life in it. And we speak the word of the promises of God into our bodies so that our bodies can be quickened by his word. Amen? By his spirit. It's his spirit that lives in us, the Bible says, that quickens our mortal bodies. Quicken is an old King James word, to be made alive again. Amen? Amen. So we can take the promise and take a promise that God has healed us. The next thing, the third promise of the covenant is provision. Everybody say provision. What is provision? Provision is providing for your needs. And we know Philippians 4:13 says, "My God shall what? Supply all our what?" Come on, talk to me. Need according to you. Whose riches and glory? Yours or his? His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Have you ever wondered why it said his and not yours? Because, yeah, there are times when we don't have any. So we have to depend on him. And that's the whole point. See, if we understand that God is not against provision as long as you remember where it comes from. As long as you don't take the credit for it. As long as you don't say, "It's my own strength, it's my own hands, it's my own wisdom, it's all my own understanding that caused me to receive these things, my talents, my gifts." And we all have been there. All of us have been there. "Well, you know, I'm just smart. I was born smart." No, I beg to differ with you. You know, people always say, "Well, people are born." No, nobody's born with anything. I've never seen a baby rattle off citations from Shakespeare out of the womb. It's something you have to learn. Am I right? I mean, come on. We're always trying to make somebody, some babe. No, they were exposed to these things. They picked them up and they learned them. And then they became smart, accelerated in those truths. Are you with me here? So nobody's born with anything, but God gives everybody all that he needs. And my favorite passage, I got to read it, Romans 8:31-32. I love this because it just makes it so clear about what he's saying. And am I doing okay on time here? It says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" And look at this. Get this. "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" What? Think about this. God has already given you his best, so why would he be tripping about money? I mean, compared to Jesus, money doesn't compare. There's nothing more God can give you but his son, his best. So when you need financial provision, God doesn't mind if you remember who the source is. Amen? Amen. Let's move on. The next fourth thing is that God promises to give us protection. Everybody say protection. And I'm not going to go to there, but there's a song we all know. Fred Hammond sings, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." That's actually a scripture. It's in Isaiah 54:17, "No weapon formed against us shall prosper." That does not mean that you won't have to go through persecution. But what that means is if you stay with him, No weapon formed against you will destroy your faith in him. Are you with me? Because that's what the weapons are designed to do. Am I right? Isn't that what the enemy comes to bring, is to take you out from what you believe, to take you away from what God has called you to do, to remove you out of his plan? That's what the enemy calls. But if you stay in him, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Amen? And then the last thing, and I'm going to read this. Let's go to, is the fifth point is favor. Everybody say favor. God gives us his favor as we are obedient to his will. Amen? What does favor mean? Somebody talk to me while we're going, let's go to Psalms chapter 5, verse 12. What's favor mean? Just yell it out. Nobody want to say what favor means? It's what? Okay, a place better than what we deserve. Okay. That means you get or you receive benefits that you don't deserve. You get relationships that you didn't carve out. God puts you in front of people that there was no way you could have gotten to them if you had done it yourself. That's favor. And God says in Psalms chapter 5, verse 12 says, "For it is you who blesses the righteous, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield." Think of that. A shield. What's a shield? A shield is something that back in those days, they fought with shields to protect themselves. And God surrounds us with favor. So the last point is, how can we get these precious promises? And let's go to John chapter 6, 28 and 30, and then we're closing. John chapter 6, verse 28 through 30. And this is a question of the people that came to see Jesus, and they said, therefore they said to him, "What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?" How many have asked themselves that question? What must we do to work the works of God? And then Jesus makes it very simple. He says, Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you," what? Everybody say it out loud. "Believe in him who he has sent." That's the work. You might say, well, isn't it a little harder than that? Don't I have to go out and... No, he said, just believe. Believe, and the work is what you have to do. That's the work you need to do. And then they asked Jesus for a sign. He says, what sign will you give us to let us know that this is the way? And then Jesus talks to him about some things. And he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you won't have any part of me. And Jesus' resurrection is the sign that all we have to do is believe. Amen? So these are the five promises that we get because of the new covenant. Salvation, healing, provision, favor, and what's the fifth one? Protection. And this is the things that we need to stand on in those times of need and trial. Amen? So let's stand. We're going to go home.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it would impact you, that you would continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that he has called us to be.